Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. The Sixth Amendment guarantees impoverished clients the right to effective representation under the U.S. Constitution. The Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office can only accommodate the cases of about 60% of indigent defendants, so they pay private attorneys to take the additional cases. But they pay the lowest rate of any state in the nation. It's an issue that has left the office struggling to attract attorneys, especially for rural clients. The result? An increasing number of defendants are waiting months for an attorney, or even going to trial unrepresented. Prosecutors, defense attorneys, and judges say the issue isn't just about defendants. The problem is creating a ripple effect on court calendars, county jails, county budgets, and the victims who are increasingly forced to wait months or even years for justice to be served. I'm Shereen Seward. Joining me today is Blake Gross, an attorney in Ashland who is representing five plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit who say their rights were violated as a result of the public defender shortage. He'll be here for the first segment of the program. Also joining me is Marathon County Circuit Court Judge Mike Moran, who also worked as a public defender before being elected to the bench in 2011. We also welcome District Attorney Teresa Whetstone, who spearheads the prosecution of thousands of cases each year in Marathon County. Blake, Judge Moran, Teresa, welcome to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd also like to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-780-9742. We'd like to hear the concerns or solutions you have with the public defender shortage in Wisconsin. 800-780-9742 is the number to call. Blake, thanks again. The lawsuit names the state, Governor Tony Evers, and the state public defender's office as defendants. So in a nutshell, if you can tell us about the lawsuit and what prompted it.
Well, the lawsuit alleges that the state is violating the rights of persons who have been charged with a crime but have not yet been appointed counsel under their 6th and 14th Amendment rights of the United States Constitution, their Article 1, Section 7 rights under the Wisconsin Constitution. These are people who have been charged with a crime and have been incarcerated awaiting trial. They have not yet been appointed attorneys. These people are all indigent. They have not yet been appointed attorneys by the State Public Defender's Office, and I'm not laying the blame at the State Public Defender's Office. We'll discuss that in a second. But because there are no lawyers to take their cases, these folks are sitting in jail. They've been charged with a crime. They have not been found guilty. So they are just sitting there waiting for somebody to take their case so that they can make their initial appearance and start their proceedings so they can be found guilty, innocent, or reach an agreement with the state.
So how long did the clients sit in jail before a lawyer would take their case? Are they still there? How long are we talking about here?
Well, some of the clients are, in fact, still in jail, and a couple of them are in jail for related cases, so that's not pertinent. But for some of our clients, we're looking at weeks and, in some cases, months. We have a client who was sitting in jail for 134 days without counsel being appointed. We have others who have sat for 90 days, who have sat for 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Again, they are sitting waiting for an attorney to show up and make the initial appearance in the case. At that time, that attorney may petition the court for a reduction of their bail for being excessive or move to have it converted to a signature bond. I'm aware of one case where somebody sat for approximately 35 days before the court stepped in, and at county expense, which is another issue with this problem, appointed an attorney. That attorney, within hours of being appointed, made an appearance, got this individual out of jail on a signature bond, which was something any attorney most likely could have done given the facts and circumstances regarding the allegations. This person sat for 35 days of her life, and even if we wanted to be charitable and assume that she was picked up on a Friday and didn't get into court till Tuesday, that's a month of her life that she will never get back because of this problem, gone forever.
And are you seeing cases where a defendant can maybe lose employment simply because he or she had no lawyer? I mean, what's the ultimate effect of this?
That is an absolute issue that we are seeing. We have a couple of clients who have lost jobs. We have others who, fortunately, are seasonal employees or have very understanding bosses, but that understanding can only be stretched so much when the economic reality is you're trying to hold a job for someone and they're stuck sitting waiting for a lawyer for 3 or 4 months. There's only so much that a business owner can do. This is clogging our jails. These people should be, if they're if their cases are appropriate for bail or for release on signature bond, these people could be out working to prepare for their case, providing for their families, and being otherwise productive members of the community. Instead, they are stuck in jails, taking up space that could be used for actual violent or dangerous people who need to be there. Having, as one of my clients said, it's terrible that I'm sitting here, but I'm gaining weight and reading books on the county dime instead of having to work.
Absolutely. One of the things I think is notable is that your clients are all from Ashland and Bayfield counties, and it looks like there's just a shortage of attorneys, period, up there, and probably in a number of rural areas. Do you think it's harder to secure representation for defendants compared to, say, Madison or Milwaukee? Is it that much harder in those rural communities?
I'm going to speculate because I haven't done a lot of hard number crunching with respect to the major metropolitan areas, but I think that's a fair and likely assumption. Just to be clear, we actually filed an amended complaint, and we have added plaintiffs from La Crosse as well. So it's currently Ashland, Bayfield, and La Crosse counties. But based on what I've seen through other articles and through the State Bar of Wisconsin's information, the overwhelming majority of the attorneys in the state of Wisconsin are concentrated in the South and Southeast, where you would expect them. There's a significant number of attorneys in the Milwaukee, Madison area, and that represents easily over half of the attorneys in the state. It's difficult not just for indigent defendants in the rural North to get lawyers, but it's often difficult for people to get lawyers even if they have money, just given the limited number of lawyers who practice up here and the fact that they all tend to be pretty busy, or at least as busy as they want to be.
So is the problem money? I mean, is that with this low cost, this low per hour rate that attorneys are making, is that the biggest problem?
It is one of the biggest problems. $40 an hour is not enough to keep a law office open. There was a study done in 2015 that found the average hourly rate to keep a small practice open in the state of Wisconsin was about roughly $42 an hour. Mm-hmm. So, and I work in a small firm. We're certainly not becoming insanely wealthy up here. We are two attorneys, two paralegals, and two staff members, and we can't pay for the utilities and people's salaries on $40 an hour. It's simply economically impossible to take those cases. My partner has taken them in the past, certain high-profile ones, where his motivation was it was a really interesting or a really good case, and he was in a position where he could afford to hemorrhage a little money for a while. But in terms of any sort of business model, we simply can't take cases at $40 an hour.
Sure. So what do you think about the proposal to increase the rate to $70 an hour? This is part of that budget request.
I'm not going to comment on the number per se. I know that other groups have strong opinions on the number, and I'm not going to sit there and go, no, this number is great or their number is better. But the fact that there is now a proposal is very heartening, and I know that there was a petition to the Supreme Court last year through the Wisconsin Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers to raise that rate, and the Supreme Court said we can't, it's a legislative issue. I'm glad to see that the sausage is being made more rapidly. I don't know if that was something that both the executive and the legislative had come together in advance and decided to work on, or if our suit helped move that along more quickly. But the fact that that's in the works is encouraging.
And I know that the Wisconsin District Attorney's Association, the Association of State Prosecutors, the Department of Justice, the Director of State Court Office joined in that request. Teresa, as a DA, I mean, why is this proposal something that prosecutors are signing on to?
Prosecutors are part of the criminal justice system, which is premised on justice, and it's an adversarial system. So the right to effective counsel is a key component, obviously, in that system. It's very important for that system to work properly with timely representation and effective representation for all parties involved, not just the defendant, but also for any victims that might be involved in a case. So certainly we support a system that has all the necessary resources and components to make it effective.
Okay, thank you. You know, ultimately, Blake, what are you asking the state to do in your lawsuit? What would you really like to see happen?
I would like to see the state stop violating the rights of my clients as an initial matter. And the way that that's going to be accomplished is the state needs to – nobody wants to spend more money on lawyers. Nobody wants to spend more money on government, and nobody wants to spend more money on alleged criminals. But that's what needs to happen. The state public defender's office is underfunded. The district attorneys are underfunded and overworked, just as are the state public defenders. And the outside counsel are also underfunded. And those things need to be fixed to allow the system not to work efficiently, but to work less inefficiently. It's unlikely that everybody is going to be funded to the level that they want and everything's going to be perfect, but it needs to be better because right now it's absolutely broken.
Judge Moran used to be a public defender before he was elected to become a judge. So, you know, I'm curious, Judge, do you feel like this problem has gotten worse over the years? I mean, from the years that you were a public defender, is it worse now, or has this always been the issue?
I started as a public defender in 1991, and then I ran the office from about 1998 until about 2003. These are not new issues. Mm-hmm. We were dealing with these issues back when I first started, and it really became really hit me when I was in the process of trying to find attorneys to represent people in the late 90s, and we had the same issues. This rate hasn't changed since the early 80s, the $40 an hour. And simply the problem is that this isn't a service that we provide people. It's a mandate by the Constitution that we have to provide representation for people who are charged with crimes.
Sure.
If they can't afford it. And it has to be done that way. Has it gotten worse? Yes. What we see is the rising costs of legal education. People have student loans. These attorneys, young attorneys, have student loans, hundreds of thousands of dollars. You simply can't make those payments back on $40 an hour taking these cases. So you really don't have attorneys coming up north, as they say. I consider this all up north, to take these cases because they can't pay their student loans, let alone make a salary. We have a lack of attorneys. We have a lack of resources that we're paying the attorneys, and we really haven't kept up with pay for district attorneys and public defenders. So we've got a perfect storm that's really, really hitting that crisis point now, but we've always had this issue, I think, for many, many, many years.
Right. And Blake, I know that in your lawsuit you had said you're calling that this system a state of crisis. So and I think it's interesting that the judge made the same point, that this is a constitutional issue. This isn't just, just a human rights issue or a human interest issue, I should say, but really a constitutional issue. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I'm not surprised that either the judge or the district attorney are saying anything different. Everybody's on the same side here. This is a problem that affects the entire judicial system and is a constitutional issue. And we all went to law school. We all understand how the system is supposed to work. We all understand what people's rights are, as opposed to a case where somebody may be taking a position that's controversial or at least contestable. I don't think you're going to get any legally educated, thoughtful person who's been exposed to this at all who's going to say anything radically different to what the three of us are saying.
Sure.
This is a serious issue.
Sure. Well, we do have to take a break. Blake, thank you so much for joining us on Route 51. Blake Gross, an attorney in Ashland who is representing more than six plaintiffs now in a federal lawsuit prompted by a shortage of public defense attorneys throughout Wisconsin. When we return, we'll talk further with Judge Mike Moran and Marathon County District Attorney Teresa Whetstone about the ripple effects created by the shortage and the impact on defendants, on victims, on court calendars, and taxpayers. You can join the conversation as well at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward, and this is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Marathon County Circuit Judge Mike Moran and Marathon County District Attorney Teresa Whetstone are with us. You can join as well by calling 800-780-9742. A shortage of public defense attorneys is affecting the court system statewide in a myriad of ways. Part of the problem is the pay rate for public defense attorneys, which is the lowest of the nation. But there are other reasons, too. One is conflicts of interest for public defenders. We're hearing a lot about this. Judge Moran, before becoming a judge, as we said before, you worked as a public defender. Can you explain for our listeners what a conflict of interest is and how it comes into play here?
Oh, sure. You have staff attorneys that are public defenders, and we assign cases to the staff attorneys. There are regular staff attorneys that are salaried work, people who work for the lawyers in the public defender's office. But if a case involves multiple defendants with the same charge, then those extra cases, those other cases, have to be sent out because of a conflict of interest. You don't want the same attorney representing everybody in a case. Everybody has different interests, different situations. So what the public defender's office must do is to find attorneys, private attorneys, at a set rate that they pay to take those cases. And each person, defendant, would have an individual attorney themselves. What was interesting is when we talked about rural versus some of the cities, Wausau, it may be more difficult even in some of the cities to find attorneys because you may have multiple defendants in a city who are going to need more attorneys for one situation. And those conflict situations are what are causing us a real problem at this point because we're forced, I see, as a public defender's office, I see them having to reach as far as Madison, Milwaukee, to find attorneys to represent those defendants that are conflicts of interest for the office. So they're doing their job providing an attorney for one of the defendants, but simply finding attorneys for the other defendants has caused having to go as far as Hudson, Milwaukee, Madison, Appleton, Green Bay, just to find attorneys to represent multiple defendants. So that's really where the conflict situation comes up.
That sounds like a pretty tough situation. As District Attorney, Teresa, you've seen firsthand the impact this has had on victims. You and I have talked about this. I mean, tell us about that, the victims who have to wait so long for justice.
Yes, I was just thinking about some of Judge Moran's comments. And just to give a little perspective, in the last couple of years, the workload analysis has shown for the district attorney's office that we've almost doubled our need. We went from 3.6, not counting the 2.5 county prosecutors that county has graciously funded. We had 3.6 need. Now we have 6.7. So you think about that increase in workload, and then you combine that with the shortage of public defenders, and that puts us in a crisis mode for public defender representation because the workload need is going up. The number of attorneys, we have had a number of attorneys are very experienced, retire without replacement. And so you put that workload going up and the number of attorneys available going down, it puts that crisis at a breaking point. As far as victims are concerned, it is very difficult to explain to a victim, you know, a defendant is entitled to effective representation. When you have a attorney who is coming out of Milwaukee or Madison and you have an offender, at times we've had people housed all the way out in Chippewa Falls or Oneida County, the travel time for that defense attorney to meet personally, and these are significant cases sometimes, significant penalties, that's also the defendant's life and freedom in jeopardy. And to have that attorney try to travel all that way to meet personally with their client, which I think the client has sort of an expectation of, oftentimes does not happen. The client, the communications break down, the relationship breaks down, and it becomes difficult to be effective. Well, then that attorney gets off the case. It was difficult to find the attorney in the first place, and now there's months delay for a new attorney to be appointed. Meanwhile, we have a victim who is waiting for justice, a victim who knows that there is a trial ultimately likely to come, and their whole life is put on hold. The strain and the stress of coming repeatedly back to court, the uncertainty of knowing what's going to happen, to be unable as a prosecutor to even effectively communicate with a defense attorney because of the transition or lack of attorney to try to negotiate the case. Meanwhile, the victim is left without restitution, with the uncertainty. A lot of times it causes extra trauma to the victim that is so unnecessary. And it's very disheartening to have to tell a victim, I'm sorry, it will be another couple of months because we cannot find an attorney.
Let's face it, drugs are driving our criminal justice system right now. Meth and heroin in Marathon County, as well as all over northern Wisconsin, probably over the state. And you know, with drug cases, you see multiple layers of defendants. You see somebody that's selling, you see someone who's using, you see somebody who may be overdosing from use. You see all different layers in drug cases. And, you know, and you see repeat offenders. So you're shuffling the defendants up. I mean, I say that in a way that they need representation. So you just have so many more conflicts that are involved in drug cases than, for example, somebody who's breaking into a house. You have one person breaking into the house. They're charged. Where you need one public defender. In drug cases, you often have cases where there might be four, five, six people involved and any number of layers. They each require an attorney to represent them, and that creates these multiple layers. And if they're repeat offenders or repeat people who have been charged, oftentimes the attorney that we have available have already represented somebody in that five or six.
Sure.
So that's right. It's requiring all these different distances to have to travel. And like Teresa said, you know, the expectations if somebody's going to be a competent attorney, they're going to visit them at the jail and be available. Well, how does someone from Milwaukee, how are they able to really be available for someone that's in jail, as an attorney should be, without having to travel great distances at great expense? I mean, it really is a snowballing of expenses that we're adding on because we are really not cultivating a group of attorneys to take cases in Marathon County because of the pay and because of the lack of attorneys. I mean, it really is a problem that we're not addressing. And I think that's what we're really here to talk about, is how do we address that?
Right. How do we address it? I mean, it does sound like that's a lot of taxpayer dollars. Wow. That not only are you having to hire these attorneys from out of the area, but then I would assume there's travel expenses involved. And there's, just the time that that defendants have to be in jail and waiting, and that's on the taxpayer dime, too. So,
well, I can tell you that as someone who's not represented versus someone who has a competent attorney representing them, you look at less pretrial time, you look at less jail time, you look at less waiting for victims in cases, you see less appeals, you see a lot less time in court. You often see, you know, oftentimes an attorney acts as almost like a mediator and working in, you know, plea agreements and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. You just see so much time devoted and probably better outcomes. Mm-hmm. It's just so much that could be saved by having competent attorneys that are provided constitutionally to people that we're just wasting a lot of money the way it's working now. I mean, I really feel that way. And the courts, you know, we've got – if we have more attorneys, we have cases that go through much faster or, you know, the cases that need to be tried get tried by – you know, by the attorneys. But we have more time than for other cases. We have more time for the people that are doing – we're not even talking about the civil, the family, the juvenile, the other cases that need to be in court just as well. And this is clogging up their time also. So if you want to get a civil case, you're looking at a couple – 2-3 years right now because of the number of cases that are being with people not being represented.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this problem has – just so many facets to it. And police have said that the longer a case goes, the harder it is to bring it to fruition as well. Maybe, Teresa, you can talk about that a little bit. I mean, why do those delays make prosecution more difficult from a investigative standpoint?
Well, I've already talked about the impact on victims, and that's from the sense of we might actually lose that victim along the way. A victim doesn't feel that they are being heard or taken into account by a criminal justice system that is fraught with delays, that there is – Chapter 950 does provide for victims' rights. And the courts in Marathon County do a wonderful job of taking into consideration victims' rights when they grant continuances or adjournments of proceedings. But the reality for the court system is that they are really faced with no choice. If an offender wants representation, they're entitled constitutionally to representation, and a judge has in front of them a defendant who has not had an attorney yet appointed. They can't force that defendant, nor should they, to go forward with a case. So oftentimes the victims are left feeling that the system, they have no place in the system and that they are an afterthought, and we lose victims along the way. They move. People are very mobile. They may move many times out of state. We have to keep in touch with them. We have to keep track of them. And oftentimes it's so difficult because they're dealing with their own traumas. Not to mention the fact that memories fade. It's very difficult in a situation where you actually don't want to remember the events, but you need to for the prosecution. You've gone through counseling and therapy to sort of put it aside or to deal with it, not think about it. And then now 3 years later, as a prosecutor, I'm asking you to remember every single detail, and you're going to go up on the stand and you're going to be questioned about those details. It just is a very unfair system for all involved when those types of delays happen. I did want to point out that, you know, we have the delays that are very obvious in pending cases in court. Some of the more less obvious, indirect but direct to offender delays is probation holds. So if an offender is on probation or supervision and they are placed on a hold and the Department of Corrections has determined that they're going to proceed with revocation, they're entitled to counsel. That is another place where there's a significant delay in being able to find counsel to be appointed. And these are the people that are in our jail awaiting revocation of their probation. So they're in custody, you know, being paid for by all of our taxpayer mm-hmm. dollars. And so that case is not proceeding. They may have been alleged to have committed a new offense. So that new offense is going through the criminal justice system. They also need representation for that. And it's very hard to resolve a new pending case when you don't have a resolution of their probation revocation. So there are a lot of things. It's very complicated and intertwined, but it all comes back to not only timely representation, but effective representation that a defendant is entitled to make the system work at its core.
You know, the thing about it is we all agree that there's a problem. The district attorney really tries very hard to make sure that people have attorneys. I mean, we're all vested in a system where it works. We have great district attorneys. We have great defense attorneys. We have judges. When the system is fully staffed and really works, it does work, and it's efficient. But we all know in this the work in the court system that it's not working right now as best as it could be, and there's a lot of delay and a lot of waste. I have to tell you, the public defender's office and the district attorneys who work and I think work at a rate of pay that I don't think is an appropriate or reasonable rate of pay, and those attorneys that take these cases at $40 an hour, I have to tell you, I'm impressed by them. Because of the fact that they're doing it, not because they're getting rich from doing it, but because I think they really truly are committed to what they believe, that the Constitution provides representation and the system, they believe in the system. And so I really got to tell you, we all know there's a problem, it's time to make some changes. It's time to really address these problems before it gets worse. We've already got a lawsuit filed, mm-hmm. and that's what the result is. I don't know. I know that that the legislators are working on this. I'm not sure at the rate that they're proposing $70 an hour is going to cure it. I think that's probably maybe a short-term solution. We may get more attorneys. But the problem really is we have a shortage of people taking these cases in northern Wisconsin. Simply, and as I stated before, if you go through law school, get a legal education, and you spend $100,000 or $150,000 in education, you're going to stay in Madison or Milwaukee where there's probably more work to do,
sure.
And you're gonna you know be able to do that because you're gonna get more cases and you're gonna be able to you're not gonna come up north where it's more sporadic and you're not gonna be able to pay back those loans.
Absolutely.
And so that's the problem. We just don't have enough attorneys here. We need something to attract more attorneys here.
And the attorneys who leave, they're not leaving to go necessarily even to another office where they or a place where they can take public defender appointments. They're moving on to a different type of legal work,
exactly,
where they can get paid more. We're definitely seeing that with our prosecutors that have left our office, if they want to have a family and provide for their family or have, you know, multiple children, they cannot make it on the salary that they're getting. So they end up leaving to go to a different type of law practice that will pay the bills.
That's interesting. There's something that I wanted to ask you about. I've been covering crime here in Marathon County for a number of years, and something I started noticing about maybe a year or so ago, 2 years ago, is this review that's been added after the defendant's initial appearance. Can you explain what that is?
Yes. So I think this is a practice that is unique to Marathon County. I don't know of any other county in the state that is doing this. And the district attorney's office really sought this review for a number of reasons. One was the efficiency of the under-resourced, overworked partners in the criminal justice system, mainly the courts and the district attorneys, as well as the defendants who are sitting in jail. The review process is to determine whether or not an individual has representation before a preliminary hearing, specifically in a felony case. They're entitled to a preliminary hearing within 10 days for a cash bond and 20 days statutorily, 20 days for a signature bond. If they do not have representation and they want representation, the preliminary hearing will not be held. What we were doing is seeing a cycle of preliminary hearings being set before the court, taking up the court's calendar where other cases could be heard if they won't go. And they do not have representation, so they just get rescheduled. We have a review hearing now in place to track the defendants, first of all, so that we're making sure we're staying on top of it, that people there's an active search for representation. And then if there is no representation, that there's not another in-court hearing set that ultimately won't go. The other thing is that was costing a lot of money for the municipalities for officer time, because that's a hearing where officers traditionally would have to testify. We've gotten creative, and now we have a designated preliminary hearing testifier, in part as a result of the difficulty that we've had with lack of representation.
That's interesting. All right. Well, we do need to take a break. Judge Mike Moran and District Attorney Teresa Whetstone are our guests today on Route 51. When we return, we'll talk further about the widespread impacts a shortage of public defense attorneys is having on the entire court system. You can join the conversation as well at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Marathon County Circuit Court Judge Mike Moran and Marathon County District Attorney Teresa Whetstone are with us. You can join as well at 800-780-9742. The number of private attorneys willing to take on poor people's cases is dwindling, and legal experts warn that Wisconsin's inability to provide indigent defendants with representation is a serious problem in the state's criminal justice system. Wisconsin's rate for public defense attorneys is $40 an hour, the national average $65 an hour, and the federal standard is $125 an hour. So earlier in the program, we heard from Blake Gross. He is representing several plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit stemming from the public defender shortage in Wisconsin. And according to the lawsuit, it takes an average of 24 days for the state to find an attorney to take on a client in Ashland or Bayfield County. Teresa, I'd like to ask you, is there a similar waiting period here in Marathon County?
Actually, Judge Moran and I exchanged looks when we heard that amount of time, because that seems very low. I did try to gather information, and I would be in error if I gave an exact number because I don't have it. But I can tell you from my experience that just in observing court, and Judge Moran, I'm sure, can back me up on this, it seems a lot longer on average than 24 days. I know we've had people waiting for a preliminary hearing that is they're entitled to statutorily within 10 days. We've had them come back at least 12, 13 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. They're entitled to it within 10 days. 12, 13 weeks later, they're still trying to find an attorney for that individual. So I'm not sure what the exact number is in Marathon County, but that does seem low.
I've heard that the public defender's office has had situations where they've – and this may be low. I have talked to 500, 600, 700 attorneys to try to get someone to take a case. Imagine that, the amount of calling that has to go through the – I mean, the public defense – I worked there. I know how this works.
Right,
and imagine going through a list of 700 people to find an attorney for someone and be turned down 700 times because we simply don't have the attorneys to take the cases. Try doing that for a long time and see what that would be like to have to go through that. And
right.
That may be on the low side.
Right.
It really is at a point now where we just simply are doing everything we can – to save taxpayers money and to give the service that we're supposed to be doing, but it's a perfect storm right now, and I'm glad that they're addressing it. I hope that it's something that they're looking for short term, but also long term, because really what everybody suggests is that, well, why can't the county just pay for it? Why can't we just appoint attorneys and make the county pay for it? Well, there are people that work in the county that and taxpayers that say, well, the state has a mandate here.
Right.
And so people from the county aren't so happy about just saying, okay, we'll pay for it because that comes out of the county budget. So it's really a cost shifting, and what are we going to do about it? Where are we going to go, and who's going to pay for it? I know that some counties up north have talked about, well, the county should automatically step in and start paying for all the attorneys. And that's I'm sure the people that work for the county that are in the accounting department probably don't have the room to do that.
Sure.
It's a state mandate that has to be really has to be addressed at a state level.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that's where we're – because we all agree there's a crisis here.
Absolutely. We do have a caller that we would like to speak with. His name is Paul. And let's get Paul on the line. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Paul, you're calling from Lincoln County?
I am. I'm a county supervisor. We did pass a resolution some months ago calling on the state to fund the $70 fee, raising it up. So there is that, and we're not one of the northern counties trying to get the county to pay for it, by the way. but also, I'm part of a small group in Lincoln County, not directly affiliated with county governance, that's been meeting with our two county judges, a DA, and the retired probation and parole officer to try and see if we can get a drug court established in Lincoln County, because we do not now have one. But I've also been in consultation with our finance department in the county, as well as administrative coordinator, both of whom cautioned me that we have to be very careful about how we proceed with this, because the county doesn't have any money to help out with the establishment of a drug court. So no matter how we've looked in Lincoln County, all we see is that the constrictions, the financial constrictions that have been put on the county by the state, and this problem really lies in the legislature. Absolutely. I mean, the legislature has been squeezing counties to the point where we're screaming for some relief.
Well, thank you, Paul. We really appreciate the call today. I appreciate you weighing in. Actually, you know, thinking about Lincoln County, I saw one case where a defendant spent 5 months waiting for an attorney there. 4 of those months he spent in jail. I mean, this sounds like, you know, just another one of those cases. Without an attorney to argue for the bond reduction, I mean, bottom line, does that mean defendants are spending more time in jail? I mean, is it adding to the jail overcrowding? Is that what's happening?
Well, what I want to make clear is that regardless of whether someone has representation, the factors that the court and the district attorney's office presents to the court are the same, whether the person has representation or not. However, you cannot engage with a defendant who wishes to have representation to address or for them to address really the court, because you don't want an offender to say something that might ultimately incriminate them or affect their case negatively when they really want representation. So it limits the exchange that you can have with an offender to argue some of these factors that have been presented to the court. But the factors remain the same, whether they're represented or not. I did want to address something that the caller said, because Marathon County has a drug court. It also has an OWI court. And our diversions are at an all-time high. We have been trying to address, as the caller said, the issue through every possible angle that we can. We have a wonderful system of stakeholders, criminal justice stakeholders that meets together regularly to try to improve the system, to work with what we have. And the reality is that is never going to be enough. And I agree with the caller that the county could not take on this burden, and it has to be taken on at a state level.
When I set bond for somebody, I don't set bond according to whether they have an attorney or they don't have an attorney. I mean, that's pretty clear. We have statutory requirements we'd have to look at. Oftentimes what happens is someone may be given a bond, a cash bond, and then some other situation might come up or some other information might come forward. Well, if you don't have an attorney, who brings it forward? Certainly we get a lot of letters on bond, and we certainly address those through bond. So the person doesn't have zero access. I mean, they don't have zero access to the court because we do set bond hearings if someone writes us a letter. But having a competent attorney representing them can sometimes make all the difference in getting them back into court, making coherent arguments, filing appropriate motions that could get the case dismissed or reduced. There's just a lot of things that an attorney can do up front during this period of time that may not be available to someone who's not represented and could prolong the time that they're sitting in jail.
The discovery process that goes on in a criminal case where the police reports are provided by the district attorney's office to the defense cannot even start until that person is represented. So in a criminal complaint that initiates the criminal proceedings, it's very small, very short. It's simply the probable cause. You could have a probable cause statement that is 3 pages long and 1,000 pages of police reports in that case. There is nowhere for that 1,000 pages to go if the person does not have an attorney. So the process really can't even start until that attorney is on the case. And then if that attorney cannot stay with the case for reasons we've already talked about, and their new attorney comes on, that new attorney then has to get that file from the previous attorney, has to review that file, conduct any investigation that is necessary, and you're talking more weeks of delay.
Absolutely, absolutely. I did read about a Wood County case that, you may be familiar with this, where a judge and prosecutor went ahead with a preliminary hearing for an 18-year-old. It was an 18-year-old young man. He was charged with some very serious crimes, burglary, armed robbery, child abuse. He was still waiting for a lawyer, but they ended up going ahead with the preliminary hearing anyway. The young man was bound over for trial, and he took his own life. There's a real human element here. I think that this case is interesting because it shows how difficult and scary it is for defendants who are navigating the system. I know that this, I can't ever remember a time where I've seen a judge or a prosecutor move ahead with court proceedings before a defendant has ever had representation. Can you ever imagine that happening?
Absolutely. We can't force a person to have an attorney. And if you're in jail for a period of time, I imagine people would decide that I want to get out of jail and I'm going to proceed without an attorney, and they certainly can. And we do a colloquy with them to make sure that they they're representing themselves and they know what they're doing. Frankly, I try to tell them it's difficult to represent yourself, but we can't force somebody to have an attorney, and they would proceed without an attorney in those situations. It may be against their best interests, but you can't force somebody to have an attorney. And we're talking about indigent people that under the Constitution are to be provided an attorney.
Right.
But people do proceed all the time without attorneys that may not be indigent, may decide they don't want to have an attorney. So that situation does come up. That's an unfortunate situation.
Yes.
And I don't know what the circumstances were. But we can't force someone to have an attorney, even if they're qualified or should constitutionally have one.
Right. A shortage of public defense attorneys is just one of the problems plaguing the court system, as we've touched on today. Teresa, you've been a prosecutor since 2002?
In Marathon County,
In Marathon County. So I know that you and I've had a conversation about this, I think about a year ago, about some challenges that your office is really facing, some turnover, low pay, staff shortages. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Yes, I think that I am safe in saying that our office, we have 11 attorneys in our office, so 10 and then myself. And we have turned over our office since I've been there over 3 times. I think it's about 3.5 times right now. What does that mean? It means that victims are dealing with probably more than one prosecutor on a case because of the turnover. It means that cases move slower, just like I talked about with defense attorneys having to become familiar with their cases when they are new to the case. The same thing happens with a new prosecutor on the case. We try the best we can to keep cases moving. But like I said, we are 6.7 bodies short in our office. So when you add turnover to that, it obviously is going to have impact not only on the speed in which cases are moving through the system, but also the quality of service that our county residents are receiving. And we do the best we can to make sure that that quality stays at an appropriate level. But it is very difficult. The rate of pay is we are seeing some of our support staff who are paid. There's an analysis done of our support staff by the county to ensure they're paid at an appropriate rate. And some of our support staff is getting close to surpassing our attorneys. Our attorneys do not get overtime. They do not get any compensation. We are on call 24/7. They do not get any compensation for that. So they are limited by their salary. And that is very difficult, and it's a very challenging profession. Think about we are dealing with homicides, we are dealing with child pornography, sexual assaults, and our attorneys have hundreds of cases open and pending at any given time that they are responsible for, and they understand that it is a tremendous responsibility for justice. And it causes burnout. It causes people to leave the profession to find jobs that are paying better, and it's very difficult. I spend a lot of my time these days training new attorneys, and I have my other staff training new attorneys in a time when we need every single person working at full capacity.
And is that the case at offices
Yes.
across the state?
Yes. I talk with my counterparts across the state, and they are having the same issue. I will tell you that our application pool went from 60 to 70 just a few years ago, applicants we may have for an opening, to about 6 or 7.
Wow. That is quite a draw.
I mean, these are tremendously dedicated people and in the public defender's office and the district attorney's office. And they work, they've all got student loans to pay back. They've got to live, living expenses. And it's easy to say, well, why don't they just get different jobs? Well, if everybody said, let's just get different, they should just get different jobs, we wouldn't have dedicated district attorneys that want to do this work, that are committed to doing this work, or public defenders for that matter, we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have the level that we have if everybody just said, well, just get a different job. You don't need to work for that. These people are so dedicated, and you got a lot of respect for the sacrifices that they're making in some ways, but for their dedication to continue to do it, we need to address that issue because, really, like I said before, the system works when you have great district attorneys, great defense attorneys, and fully staffed courts. The outcomes are fair, and that's what we're really looking for.
And let's talk about fully staffed courts. I mean, we're talking about adding another judge here in Marathon County. There's been some talk about that, yes?
Oh, yes. I think there's a judge bill talking about a sixth branch.
Mm-hmm.
There's been studies that said that we need another branch. We're one of the top four in the state for workload. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to getting people. The public should demand that their cases be done in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. We have to push some cases off to do other cases, and it's just a ripple effect. I mean, if you file a civil case, you shouldn't have to wait 2-3 years to get it. If you have a criminal case and you're a victim in a criminal case, you should have a prompt disposition. You should have something done immediately. Or if you have a family law case, your divorce shouldn't have to go on and on and on. We really want to make sure the public is served, the taxpayers are getting the best that they can get, and that that the outcomes are important, that they're just, and so we need that extra judge, I think, to make sure that timely resolution of cases is something we can do.
Sounds like we need all of it. I mean, these are all the solutions to the problem. I mean, adding those extra positions, yes?
I think we need to – I mean, there's ways we can always try to work to continue to make cuts and to make collaborations and to diversion programs and everything. We're really doing everything. We've been doing that for many, many, many years. At some point, though, there really has to be addressed by the legislature to really help us out in the system. We need that help. I'm very hopeful based upon what I'm hearing from their state legislators. They're very much aware of what's going on, and I'm hopeful that there's a desire – amongst the legislators to really address these issues, because we've let it go too long. There's a perfect storm coming, and I hope that they are desirous of helping us out because we need it.
And I want to go back to what Judge Moran said earlier, that this is not a new problem. Mm. It is getting maybe some more attention than it has because it's gotten to the crisis level. But this has been something that resources in all three public defender, judges, and prosecutors has been something that's been requested for a long time. And it is very unfortunate that we're having this conversation right now in the context we are because we've been crying for help for a long time. And it's such an important aspect of our society, our criminal justice system. It's one of the most important things that we have for order and justice. And I think it needs to be a priority for our legislators. And I agree that they have been very receptive and have been mm-hmm. listening.
Well, that's good. That's good news. Yes, absolutely. I thank you so much for sharing these thoughts with us today. I know that this is an ongoing problem that does not have any easy solutions. That's for sure. And that's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward, thanking our guests, Marathon County Circuit Court Judge Michael Moran, Marathon County District Attorney Teresa Whetstone, and Ashland Attorney Blake Gross. Our on-air producer today is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Our executive producer today is Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route51. Next week, we'll discuss the surprising health impacts of climate change in central and north central Wisconsin. Until then, we're heading out of town.